I'm speaking to Janice Connolly, who wrote and plays the part of Phyllis in Phyllis.
Yes, I do. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And you've been on tour, haven't you?
Yeah, we first made it about 2 years ago in Birmingham. We were commissioned by the STP, which if people don't know is the Sustainable Transformational Partnership. And it was looking, the government, it's a national initiative, to look at how health and social care can work more closely together. So we've been doing it for 2 years, but we're really pleased to be here in the Bedfordshire area to be doing it for Health Watch. Health Watch saw it at a national conference in Stratford-upon-Avon, saw the potential in it for citizens and professionals around in this area, and invited us to come, and it's been absolutely wonderful, actually.
So are you expecting many local health-related people to come on
stage?
Well,
I think we've had a variety of people coming to the productions that we've done on this small tour that we're doing, ranging from people in the community to health professionals to commissioners, people who can make a difference. But I believe we can all make a difference, however small, in whatever walk of life we're from.
So whoever's responded, whether they're just volunteers with a local agency or they're actual
professionals. It's been a very broad church, actually.
Yeah, okay. So is this the first time you've been to Cambridgeshire, then?
It's the first time that Phyllis has come. And the idea behind the story is it's the story of an older woman who is managing at home, and then she has a fall. Then she goes into hospital, and things start to go downhill, and it's very, very difficult for her family to navigate the process and the system. That's what it's about.
Okay, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that kind of scenario.
Yeah, it's
in
a very,
this area,
very common,
as everywhere.
It's a common story.
Yeah.
Throughout the country, actually. So although it's researched in Birmingham, people are saying, yes, yes, that's happening here as well.
How did you go about collecting the information?
The company has been going for 36 years, and we've developed over that time a process that we do with all our pieces that we applied to Phyllis as well, where we go and talk to anybody that's concerned with that particular issue. So I spent a lot of time in hospitals in Birmingham and older people's wards. We talked to families, we talked to GPs, we talked to health professionals, social care professionals, and I listened very carefully to what people were saying. Then brought back all that research, and we spent a week with four other very experienced theatre makers to come up with a story to hang the research on. And what we decided to do is to have no professionals portrayed in the story, to see the family, the effect on the family, and Phyllis herself. But you see the family trying to work out what to do, what to do for the best.
Mm-hmm. Was it your intention always to write a play about this then?
It was commissioned. So as a company, we're very interested in the rights of everybody, and particularly in older people's rights, because they do seem to need a lot of attention. So we were thrilled when we were asked by Birmingham to go and do this piece of work. Yeah, so the idea came from the STP, but we were thrilled to do it.
Okay. So how many are in the cast then?
In the cast, there's five of us all together. No, four. I'm including the stage manager. There's five of us on tour, four people on stage, one stage manager.
Okay, you all get on very well, I imagine.
Very nicely. We've been staying in a B&B, an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And it's just been very nice to spend time together, actually.
Yeah, business and pleasure.
Yeah. This kind of work, as I said, we've been going for 36 years, and we've been doing plays about health issues for a very long time. I think the first ones we started to do was around HIV and AIDS when it first came out, so that's way back in the 80s. And since then, we've done stuff around a lot of things around breast health, men's health, a lot of stuff around mental health as well. This way of using theatre to replay people's experiences is very strong. And somebody said yesterday, Milton Keynes, this play has spoken louder than 1,000 words.
I'm sure.
It really does, because it's you see people in their whole humanity, really.
Brings it to life.
Yes, it absolutely does,
So it'll be of interest to anyone who has an elderly relative.
Yeah.
Or is worried about their own situation.
Yeah, but also we found that young people are very interested in it. We've got a character plays Phyllis's granddaughter, and she's very helpful in Phyllis's life, as she was before she fell. And we've had really great responses for young people, saying they want to be more involved, they want to know more about stuff. I think we think it's just an older person's issue, and it's actually an issue for all society.
Sure, yeah. I would think that when youngsters do work experience, they possibly don't have this opportunity to work in a care home, but actually it might be a good insight into whether they would like to do anything like that in the future.
Yeah.
Is it inevitably harrowing? Are there any lighter moments?
It's very funny.
Is it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Because life's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And older people, I think, are particularly funny because they've got so much experience. And families are funny. And even in our darkest moments, we find our ability to smile and to laugh. And I think it's very important. I'm very keen on comedy, even though I'm a very serious person. And we always try to balance light moments or humour. I prefer to use words humour, actually. Humour alongside being truthful about how painful life can be sometimes. So I would say that Phyllis makes you laugh and also makes people cry as well. But that neither of those things are bad things, they're both good.
No. Is she quite a strong character then?
Yes, she is. Well, you have to be if you've lived till you're 85.
To show a certain amount of resilience.
Of course, yeah.
Bit of fight.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's smart. She's getting older, so of course we lose some of our power, but essentially her soul and her spirit is stronger.
Mm. Is the subject more of a women's issue, or could it just as easily have been written about a man?
Of course it could have been written about a man, and it's not a women's issue now. Although perhaps in the past, traditionally maybe, caring has been seen as a female activity. This is an issue for everybody, all ages, all genders, all communities, all cultures.
Mm. Care homes obviously do better when there are male staff there able to deal with the physicality of it. I've seen that.
It's an issue for everybody.
Okay. So after the production, you have a discussion.
Yes.
How does that go?
It's fundamental, I think, the discussion, because so the first half is we all watch the play together. Then there's a short break where people talk to each other about what it's got them thinking of. And also we're trying to get people to think about identifying small or big changes that can be made that would change this very difficult scenario, this very difficult experience that people are having. So the discussion is vital because loads of great ideas come out, and they come from the most not unlikely sources, but I think sometimes we think, oh, you've got to be a professional to have an opinion. And actually some of the things that, I don't like the word ordinary people, but you know what I mean. Everybody's got something to add.
Yeah,
everybody got something really brilliant to add.
Yeah, they're likely to see it from an uncluttered viewpoint, aren't they?
Yes, and sometimes they can put their finger on something. Mm. Yeah, I think that uncluttered is a very good word, actually.
Thank you.
Because the system is cluttered. And actually the heart of it is people's lives, and the end of our lives are so precious, really. We spend so much time being concerned about birth and getting that right, you know. And then we seem to be falling off a bit of a cliff at the moment. And that isn't okay.
No.
And it isn't okay for young people to witness that. Because otherwise, what are we working for? What's it about if it all disintegrates at the end?
It's asking some very fundamental questions then, the whole thing, making us really think.
About what's it all about,
It's about life, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So you have this discussion then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find people have got burning issues, or do you have to sort of prompt to get the discussion going?
It's the opposite, really. People have got so much to say, and I feel very sure that everybody should have a moment to speak.
Mm.
So actually, it's a very difficult job to make sure everybody gets enough time. So that's, it's not about prompting. It's about apologising for not enough time, actually.
So how long does the discussion
Usually that's about 3/4 of an hour, 50 minutes, something like that.
And do you use that information?
Well, when we first did it, we had scribes from the STP who were writing everything down. And we were told, and I hope this is true, that that would be informing policy changes and being used to make practical decisions. And when we've been doing it on this tour for Health Watch, I know that there have been people writing things down. So I know that people get so tired of being consulted and asking the same questions again and again and not seeing any visible differences. So as a company, we do try to work in partnership and say to people, you are going to use this, aren't you? Things will change, won't they?
Yeah. So Health Watch, they've got a process for collating what they hear today and taking it forward.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. Could you see the play being used in a film in the future, do you think?
I think you'd have to change it. A lot of people say, oh, it's so good. How can we get more people to see it? Can you film it? It's very much a piece of theatre. So there's no set. We've got some blocks. Phyllis lies on three blocks. You can hear Phyllis talking. And I think if you did it as a film, you'd have to find a different way of doing it. You would have to have proper sets, probably. It would have to be set in the hospital. But theatre does things in a different way. So certainly the subject matter should be done as a television play or something like that, I think. But it would have to be changed in the way it's done. You couldn't just point a camera at what we're doing. People would go, I don't think much of it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It just doesn't, you'd have to change. It's a different medium.
You need to see it live.
It would work as a radio play fairly easily, I think.
Yeah. So, do you think you will do that then, make it into a radio play?
I'd like to. It's getting the funding, isn't it? Mm. We have the will. It's about matching that will to people without that kind of money, really.
Yeah. I mean, it must be well practiced now. It must go well. So.
Yeah, we're very confident. It's very nice to do something that you know is a lovely present for people, that they are going to get a lot out of. It feels a proper privilege, really.
Sure, yeah. So the best outcome for you from performing this play, then, presumably, is to see change.
Yes.
Is there any big thing that you would like to see coming out of it?
There's a few things that keep coming up. Firstly, a fundamental change in attitude towards older people. A planning for when we get older, looking around, things like power of attorney, families talking to each other before crisis. Because in crisis, it frays families and they can't take information and everybody's trying to do their best, you know, kind of tripping up over each other. So to plan for society to talk about the end of our lives and death, not taboo it, but to sort of say we want to make it as good as we can. For the cuts that are happening and out in the community to be stopped so that people have got places to go during the day.
Quite.
All those things, for communities to recognise that families are living, if people have got families, are living further and further away from each other, to start creating new families, to talk to our neighbours, to look out for each other. And in terms of the system itself, people have said we need single budget holders, we need computer systems that talk to each other.
That's a big wish.
Well, it's just fundamental, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also very simple things like talking to relatives, remembering that for that family and that person, this is the first time this has happened to them. I think sometimes with the best will in the world, people get used to being in their workplace and forget about the stories that people bring with them. Just valuing conversation, valuing good communication, valuing doing what we're doing, talking to each other, and making time for it.
It sounds so important.
Yeah, and yet all those things are... they're fixable, and yet we've done it, and people have said that was happening 20 years ago when my mother died. There are green shoots, okay. I do think there are. But it's sort of passing around that good news and making sure that those green shoots are allowed to flourish and not be cut off because it doesn't seem to be working after 12 months.
Yeah.
And something else comes in.
Yeah, assessing things too quickly.
Yes.
Not getting the full picture.
Yeah, and being quantitative rather than qualitative.
Yes. It always seems to come back to numbers, doesn't it? Because they're
easier
to deal with.
Yeah, but it always comes and bites you in the end if you don't... It's putting the heart back into life, really.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is there anything else you'd like to tell Huntingdon listeners about regarding your work?
Well, just that if anybody's listening and they're very interested in the work that Women in Theatre do, we've got a website. You just put Women in Theatre and it will come up. And just for everybody to play their part, really, and what they can do to make this situation better for everybody.
Thank you very much, Janice, for speaking to me today.
Thank you.